Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, 18th District, in office since 2013. Sean, welcome back.
Great to be here with you.
Okay, Sean, I guess there are a couple of questions. We have now noticed that Chris Gibson, who I know you've worked with in the past, a Republican, but a sort of liberal-oriented Republican, as far as Republicans go, has announced he's not going to run. And now people are talking about taking his spot, including John Faso from his hometown of Kinderhook, who is, of course, a Republican. What do you make of this whole thing?
Well, look, as you know, I've worked very well with Chris Gibson. It's not because he's such a, any kind of liberal. He's a pretty conservative Republican. It's just that I believe there's a lot of things we can find common ground on. And so we're working on Lyme disease and veterans issues and keeping kids who study abroad safe and a lot of agriculture issues for beginning farmers and others. You know, we can do a lot together without agreeing on everything. I do think that we're going to have a very strong Democratic candidate in that district, but I'll leave it to the voters of the 19th Congressional District to pick their next congressman. You know, I got enough trouble trying to do my job here in the 18th Congressional District.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to Paul Tonko, the very good congressman, just this morning, and he was saying one of his jobs is to sort of help recruit people so that, you know, you guys might be able to regain a majority at some point. Do you see that as part of your job?
Well, look, and I see my job, particularly as a newer member of Congress, as serving the people who sent me there, who pay the bills, who pay the taxes, and who think they should get somebody in Washington who's looking out for them. And that's why, you know, the things I've been focused on are things like transportation and infrastructure. We're trying to get a big bill done this month. We need to invest in our roads and our bridges and build our country again. I've got a bunch of legislation that has a chance of passing in the highway bill that will help us use more private capital and infrastructure and do a lot of things to get our economy growing. I mean, that's where I'm focused. That's why I spent all my time on the farm bill, to get the best farm bill for our farmers here in the Hudson Valley that's ever been written. And why we do all the work on veterans cases, because what I hear is people worried about Castle Point closing. So I spent last week making sure, you know, the Secretary of the Veterans Administration got on the phone with me and promised me that Castle Point is staying open. You know, that those are the things that I think people want me to focus on. There's plenty of members of Congress who've been around for a long time who can worry about the politics. That's not what I'm doing.
Sean Patrick Maloney, you raise an interesting point. You know, there's a huge fight within political circles for years, forever, since the electors of Bristol, in which there's a question as to whether or not a congressman should follow what his her constituents want or should lead, sometimes in areas where they don't want to go, but it's important to go.
Right.
What is yours, a mix?
Yeah, I think you're talking about Edmund Burke. Sometimes you owe the voters your judgment. And we see those situations. You know, I do believe that, as I said, as someone who's relatively new to this job, I do believe you're on probation and people have a right to see you in action doing the work, you know, before you go around and tell them you know better than they do. I think part of this job is, you know, building a relationship with the people you represent and building up some capacity so that when you do have to disagree with them, they have a little bit of trust that maybe you're looking out for them, and maybe you have classified information that they don't have access to. Maybe you've spent more time on it than they have. Maybe there are issues that, you know, they don't have time to focus on, and so they want somebody in Washington who can make the call for them. But I believe that comes out of trust, and the only way you get trust is to earn it and to build it, and that comes from doing the job. So I think I'm getting there, but I try not to walk around my district telling people I know better than they do unless there's a good reason.
I like that a lot. You certainly make a case. I want to point out that old man Burke, in his address to the electors of Bristol, lost the next time out.
Well, there you go. That's right. Well, that actually makes it perfect, right? I mean, because, you know, there are things in this job where you have to look in the mirror and say, you know, am I willing to, you know, lose an election over this? And I will tell you, if there are not, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, there are definitely times where, you know, leadership requires saying, this may cost me my job and I'm going to do it anyway because I believe it's right. And I think if you've had a career that's any longer than a couple of years in Congress and you haven't faced that moment, you're probably just playing politics and you should probably make room for somebody who will actually do the work.
This is the perfect opening, I hope you know. I have 4 minutes.
I know where you're going with it.
Yes, I ran.
I saw that one coming down the track.
Right. I wonder if you'd parse that for us.
Well, look, I voted for the deal. I have deep reservations about it. I spent a ton of time on this. I want people to know I take very seriously the arguments against the deal, the problems with it, the weaknesses in it. I think I could probably make that case as well as anybody. I've spent hours with the highest folks in the administration, the secretaries of state and energy who negotiated this thing in classified and unclassified settings. I spent 2 hours with the president in a group of about 10 of us. I had a follow-up conversation with him one-on-one for about a half an hour. I spent an hour and a half with the National Intelligence Manager on Iran in a classified setting going through all kinds of issues. And I've read everything I can get my hands on. I've probably done a dozen different meetings with constituent groups, a couple hundred people out in Orange County just the other night. When you boil it all down, where I come out is that I take very seriously dragging us back into or slouching into another ground war in the Middle East. We should all have learned how difficult and painful that is, and it better be the last resort if we have to use force. And I think there is a workable framework here where we don't lose any ground, where we preserve all of our options to prevent by any means necessary, including the full use of our military power, Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. And if we don't lose any ground, then we can try to work this agreement through. Now, they are going to get some things out of this. They're going to get some money. It's their money, but they're going to get it back. They're going to open up trade with other nations. They're going to get out from under the sanctions. And those things, despite what the administration says, will be hard to put back on. But we're going to get stronger, too. And we have a lot of tools in our kit to contain Iran in a conventional setting, to rally the region and the nations around them that are at least as worried as we are about a Shiite power expanding in the region. We can do a lot on that, but we have to address the absolutely lethal threat of a nuclear-armed Iran, and we have to put that issue to one side. And if we can work this agreement over the next several years and keep them in compliance and mean it in terms of any potential violations and back it up with the full use of our military, then I think it's worth trying.
I know that there are some people who are concerned about public safety in Poughkeepsie, one of your larger cities. What are we doing wrong? Are we doing something wrong in terms of the prevention of crime or muggings or whatever?
Well, we know, I guess I'd look at it a slightly different way. I think we know what works, and what works is knowing where the crime is coming from, pinpointing the locations where it occurs, and resourcing law enforcement in an intelligent way, particularly working very closely with the community. I mean, community policing is one term for it. There's other terms for it. But the point is you have to have law enforcement in the community, serving the community, coming out of the community, and working together to do this. In Poughkeepsie, the reason we went up there and stood with all the local electeds and police folks and law enforcement folks recently is because we're going to help bring more federal resources to this job. So there are more cops out on the beat and also working in the community in the way I'm talking about so that we can reduce this gun violence. We have, by the way, been successful at stopping some of the gun violence once they started to resource the problem better when we saw it pop earlier in the summer. So we're making some progress. There's a lot of good people up there working on this. My part is to make sure we get cops grants and federal money that gets cops on the street and gets them doing community policing.
Sean Patrick Maloney, we thank you so much for being with us. You've always been good about coming back, and we appreciate it very much. When we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about something that goes in the garden, okay?
Looking forward to it.